Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is Julie Calamine, one of the Tuesday Morning Show hosts, and I feel very special today to be joined by folks, representatives from a new art gallery in town whose name is AM Gallery. It's here in Sandpoint. Alicia McFadden, you are our curator of the new gallery. Hello.
Hi.
Good to have you here. And we're joined by one of several artists who's going to be represented in the gallery, and it's David Bransky. Hello, David.
Good morning.
It's nice to have you both here. Well, listeners, you might be wondering, why have I stolen a Wednesday morning show topic for a Tuesday morning show normally, or actually a Thursday morning show? Normally we have our arts and entertainment on Thursday mornings, but I have stolen these guys away because this is going to be a great gallery. It's just opened, hasn't been open long. And what I noticed when I had a chance to go through it was that the artists that are being represented here, in my opinion, offer strong show, represent strong environmental influences. We've got, well, Alicia's going to go through the list of artists that are represented here, but there's an environmental connection that really struck me, and it made me want to talk with you further about the art that's here and one of the artists that we're able to have come into our studio today. So we'll start out with you, Alicia, because you are the curator, and I'll ask you to tell listeners a bit about yourself, your connection to Sandpoint, and how you got involved with the Ross Hall Collection.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me and David here and representing the AM Gallery and the new location in Sandpoint. First of all, the location is in the Bellwood Building, which is the historic building that's been here since the late 1900s and 1800s, excuse me. Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. I was going to say, and for those of us who don't know all of our historical buildings, I'll bet most of them know the Pondere Winery, and it wraps around somewhat, takes an L shape around there.
Yes. So, I ended up getting the Ross Hall collection through meeting Dan Hall, who is the son of the photographer Ross Hall, and I was his assistant for over 20 years, and through that meeting Dan, I was a caddy, and of course, anyone who knew Dan knew that he loved golf.
So you were Dan Hall's caddy, and you became associated that way, and then you came to work for him.
Yes. Well, I was a caddy at the Coeur d'Alene Resort, and he came with a group one day, kind of a curmudgeon-y group. I won't say who all was in the group because I'm sure they are possibly listening to this. And through this kerfuffle, they ended up wanting to walk, and people at the Coeur d'Alene Resort don't typically walk. They use carts. And so through all of this commotion, Dan and I kind of ended up sort of going off in the corner and, you know, Dan being Dan, just kind of rolling his eyes. So he and I just kind of ended up talking. And at the time, I lived in Coeur d'Alene. And through the conversation, he's my husband now, but he was my boyfriend then. And I go, oh, my boyfriend lives in Sandpoint. He goes, oh, Who's your boyfriend? I said, oh, Joe Bope. And he goes, Joey Bope. Oh, I know Joey Bope. Oh, I've played golf with him ever since he was a kid at Hidden Lakes. And so just from then on, you know, we made fast friends through the rest of the round. And he tells me he has this gallery. And, you know, when I come in and, so I did, and he's, oh, well, you know, I play golf on Fridays. If you want to come in, you can watch the studio for me. So led to a Friday, then pretty soon I'm coming in on a Saturday, then pretty soon I'm coming in on a Sunday, and then next thing you know, 20-plus years later, I'm taking over the gallery, and I ended up watching him through his medical issues, and once he got a kidney and that rejected, and he ended up leaving me the collection in his will. So,
oh my, yeah. To curate and hopefully keep it going and making sure that his dad's works are still out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think throughout being in the gallery and him seeing my passion and the respect I had for his dad's work, and seeing the lengths that his father went to get these images, and just the vision that I had that I wanted for Dan at the time, even for the gallery. You know, we'd sit around and talk, Dan. And I think he wished at the time that he could have had the strength and the wherewithal and the ability to do what we talked about, but just his health and wellness wouldn't allow him to. So, but he loved to sit with me and talk about, you know, these great ideas and adventures and things. So I think that's the reason why he ended up leaving it to me, you know, knowing that I believed in his father's work.
How wonderful. Now, Alicia, and maybe David too, you'll jump in, but for listeners that maybe haven't been in Sandpoint a long time, and of course there's been a little gap with the studio gallery that was just below our studio, the KRFY studio, people may that are new to the town may not be as acquainted with Ross Hall as all of us believe everyone is. And so maybe I'll ask you to just take a moment and describe Ross Hall, why he's important here in Sandpoint. And then, well, we do know that his son Dan took over. Dan wasn't the artist, but Ross Hall was. Speak a bit to his work.
Well, he really captured the history of the area and both the nature of the people, the hardships, all of it. I mean, the natural world, everything that was going on. I think without Ross and the collection that he captured, people wouldn't even really know what had happened here.
Coincidentally, Danny came out to my Hope property, and one of the famous photographs you have of the deer eating apples off of a tree, that was shot on my property in Hope.
Oh, really?
But many years ago, many years ago.
Well, like some of his photographs, I mean, it was 1935 or so, because my house in Hope was quite old. And that orchard is ancient, and cherry trees, apple trees. So we used to watch the deer feeding off the fermenting apples and cherries on the ground, and deer are like kids with candy. They were just, it'd make them crazy. It was so Ross caught them at night with a flash or something, a deer on their hind legs eating apples.
Nice connection. What a nice connection
so,
for you.
And Danny and I, of course, the golf thing, I was one of the curmudgeons.
You believe you were there the day that y'all met Alicia?
Well, we just had a whole crew that Fred Palmer kind of put together, and we were considered ourselves the unwashed.
Boy.
So the court of the Coeur d'Alene was tall cotton for us.
All right. Well, we're going to come back to Ross Hall when we talk about all the artists that are represented in your new gallery, the AM Gallery. And however, we have a living one, a living, breathing one of them here in the studio. And since he's sharing stories and talking about connections, I think we better bring in David. David, can you do essentially what Alicia just did and tell us how it is that you came to be in Sandpoint and how it is that you carved out a life and a career in art?
Well, I was raised in the Midwest, and I was one of those youngsters that wanted to be away from my family as soon as possible. And one thing I did in the Midwest was ski a lot. And I found myself going nowhere, and so skiing was my ticket out. So I, through Ski Magazine, got a job at Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and Alta, Utah. And Alta, Utah was required me to be there on November 15th. Jackson was about a month later, so I chose Alta and loved it. And I lived and breathed skiing for 6 years down there, 3 years before Snowbird was online, and then 3 years I had a pass at both. And we caretook a ranch at the mouth of Little Cottonwood Canyon, which houses these ski resorts. And Peggy, my wife, and I wanted to buy property there, and the fellow would not cut off an acre or whatever we could afford. So that ended up, some friends of mine from Alta had migrated up to Sandpoint, Idaho. So we came one summer in 1973, and they were practically giving land away at that time. So we bought land and built a log home, and that was my beginning here.
All right. Well, then when did your artistic flair come forward? When did you realize you're creative enough to be not only an artist, but one who can make a living and an entire career out of it?
Well, it was a career combined with spec houses. I was a watercolorist, a very poor watercolorist, and a fellow that I met, Miles Haugen, down at Alta, had took a winter off of skiing down there, had to have shoulder surgery. He came back the next year and told me about wood carving and sculpture, and so I took a look at it, and it so suited my personality where, like, when you're working on a piece of stone or a large piece of wood, you can just beat on it, and the physical aspects of those forms of art really appealed to me. So it began with, after building a log home, did a spec house on Lower Pack River Road, another log home, and built artistic elements into those homes, like newel posts with carved heads on them and things. And then people started noticing that. And then one-of-a-kind furniture that was rustic, lodge style, arts and crafts style, kind of just led into sculpture. And I loved making furniture, but I loved being a sculptor and a relief carver more, and a painter more, acrylics painter. Okay. So then it just started with the help of my wife at the time. She kept food on the table, and I kept gaining ground in art and real estate, and so that's what got me going.
Yes, and you know, I've seen, we had an interesting discussion before we came over, because we walked through the gallery, and David, you were saying that when you're here in Sandpoint in the summertime, your work reflects a little different style than it does when you're away in a sunny, warm, different environment in the winter. And these are your environmental your environmental, you know, focus, and they're different. So tell us a bit about that.
Well, I have the great good luck to live here half the year and live in Sedona, Arizona area half the year. So when I'm up here, I'm pretty realistic. I mean, fish and faces and birds and sculptures like that and paintings like that. And Sedona is a totally different environment. It's beauty, indescribable beauty. And it kind of, I'm totally abstract down there. Abstract, deep relief panels, multicolored, and some just black and white, and faces and different Southwest themes. So I love the combination of the two, because it just kind of, both places make you extremely creative. And both places, we're loaded with great artists here and great artists down there. And so you see their work, and that inspires you to be better. And so I feel blessed. And then to make a bit of a living at this and then investing in real estate,
together, it worked out.
It worked out.
And so much influenced by your landscapes that surround you. I love to hear that.
Well, Sedona is all red. And so it's almost like that. Tonal, my color differences on my relief art pieces and all are oriented towards that, towards the desert and that. And I'm trying to think of someone that you could relate my work to, Margaret Bagshaw Tyndall. But I just get, it's so totally different. You're dry and no green down there, not much green. And here, it's green and blues, and in the lake just is like, has a powerful influence on me. The Clark Fork Delta and a lot of things that are in the gallery of Ross's. Ross has shot after shot of the loggers on the rivers, the monarchs. So it's just, I don't know if I can put it into words, but I get down there and I'm just, whoa, I'm so excited to get on the feelings of that place. And I get back here and I'm so excited from the basis of 50 years of being here, my friends and the artistic influences I enjoy here. But I feel very lucky and very lucky because I'm totally unemployable to be able to get through life with this.
What a great story about your career to date. And it's been a long career, hasn't it? For how long have you been making art?
Oh, 35 or 40 years, easy.
Yeah, that's so amazing. It's really amazing. Well, David, I hope you'll continue to, you know, you're going to continue to contribute to this interview. But for now, we're going to come back to Alicia. And Alicia, David is a really great artist, and he's strongly featured in the gallery along with Ross Hall. But there are others. Can you take a minute and tell us about them?
Yes, I've got Lee Proctor. He's Proctor Studios in Big Fork, Montana, and he does large public installs, architectural commissions, large sculptures, and he focuses on blown glass and steel work. So he does a mix between freestanding vessels, he does light fixtures, he does gates, he does all different sorts of artwork with his mediums. I also have John Morse. He's from Boise, Idaho. He does simplistic but complex shape paintings, mostly large scale. And he also does wood sculptures with metal base. So he does a lot of large features and shows like the Mod Show in Palm Springs and in Florida. So he's quite popular. Clay Fox Pottery with Jill Smith. She does totemesque style storytelling for her sort of niche. She also does freestanding vases, and she does a lot of Roku. So yeah, that's kind of my basis right now. I'll be taking on different artists come and go, but I think these will be my features for the summer. And then, of course, the Ross Hall will always be a feature.
Yes. And, you know, it's been a process for you to become curator of the Ross Hall, all of the Ross Hall, what are they, negatives, I guess, right?
It's a negative file.
Yes. And it's, how large is it? Do you have any idea?
I don't really know. They've never really been counted. I've heard various numbers somewhere in the tens of thousands.
So there may be work that has yet to be seen that could show up and delight everyone.
Yeah, there's definitely work that's never been seen, for sure. And it's just such an undertaking at this point. You know, a lot of these negatives are over 100 years old. And so to have them stored and then to get them to where they can be seen is a lot of work. So
big process. So just a lot of reviewing of
yeah,
photos.
A reviewing and just to get them out. And, you know, we don't do darkroom anymore, so it's a whole different process just to get them out, right?
Yes, for
and
sure.
Seen. And so, and because they haven't been cataloged, it's something that's quite an undertaking and needs specialists and
yes,
all of that.
So I would assume then that you'll be working on this for many years to get things out and out to the public, out for people to see, available if they would want to purchase them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just even trying to get people that can do the work is an undertaking, plus just finding the funds to really get the work to be done is an undertaking. You know, the museum is actually trying to find storage to try to find money to get their negatives stored. So I think it's not just a me problem. It's just trying to store history is something that the community needs.
Yeah, important and challenging is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it will be lost.
Right. We don't want to lose those negatives. They're too cool.
Yeah, and I don't think people understand negatives don't last. They fade. So
time is of the essence,
right.
Really, also. Well, all the best on figuring out how that's going to work out.
Yeah,
I think it sounds like a big job. You know, I want to back up for a minute and just talk about the art scene in Sandpoint in general. And it's a very vibrant art scene. Would either of you like to talk about what that's all about and maybe why it's so vibrant? What do you think?
Well, I think we have a pretty creative community.
I'm always surprised. I meet artists that are international that don't display here. They're elsewhere, but we still have art walk. There's art all over this town.
Yeah.
Galleries. I think that this gallery has a strong chance of pulling us out of the backwaters. I think we need a fine art folk, a multifaceted gallery, and you're in a historic building with a great collection. So I have high hopes for the community growing, the art community growing. It's a different clientele that's moved in. And when I had my gallery in Hope, I didn't have overhead. I owned the building, so it was easy to maintain that. But this, being downtown here, this is a full-time endeavor for you, and all the best of luck.
Well, yeah. Thank you. I really hope we have so many people in the community that really offer so many different mediums and different styles. And kind of like what David's saying is there's such a broad spectrum now of people that do things. There's different looks. There's different architecture. There's so many different things going on in the community. And I hope that this gallery can reflect that and the fine arts that is hiding out in the community. I think people have seen a lot of what has been going on kind of on the surface, but they haven't got a chance to see kind of the work that the finer artists represent, because they do show in the bigger cities, or they're selling out of town, or things like that. So I hope that this will be a place that the fine artists can come and represent their work and can have that representation, and through the cross mediums, and go into a home that's maybe a more modern architecture or still the cabin, or, you know, find that happy medium where all the art can mix.
Yes. And, you know, it's so interesting. I visited Sedona over the winter, and that is an area of international art. And I would say that most of the people are not buying art that are wandering through. I mean, it is really kind of like this great museum out there. Folks' work is being represented, but so many people are looking, and of course, some are buying. But this would be an opportunity for our City of Sandpoint folks that would just like to be able to see more diverse fine art, and whether they would choose to purchase or not, it's a great opportunity to have you there and have some of our local artists and regional artists represented. Great opportunity, educational and, you know, fine arts, etc.
Well, thank you. I love that.
Thank you that. I know it.
But I think Sandpoint's economics have changed dramatically in the last 10 years. So that should help the art scene, I think.
Yeah.
You think about Sedona as a very moneyed community, and a lot of the major art places like Santa Fe or Port of the Art, these places are mm-hmm. big bucks, and Sandpoint has changed in that direction, where a person, I think, is a much better chance of a gallery succeeding now.
Yeah, which is great, because for people to be able to walk through and view that beautiful art, they have to keep the doors open. So yeah. Fingers crossed that goes well for you.
And I want, when people to come in there, I want them to realize that these pieces can work together, whether you're a collector or whether you're a designer or whether it can go into different various homes. And I think that with these pieces, whether it's from David's or John's or Lee's or Jill's or the part of the Ross Hall collection, I think there's a way that these pieces can mix, and that's what I love, and that's what I hope for in this gallery, that if, you know, you come in and you go, oh, I love this, you know, stone piece and this wood piece from David's, and I love that this piece from John's collection. I want them to be able to find, as a collector, that they can mix and match these pieces together, and they can coordinate these in their home.
Yes, have some fun with some...
Yeah.
And
still find a fluidness to them.
Yeah. Well, what a great dream to have for this, and bring in artists that will, you know, really, sort of work well together.
Yeah, complement each other, but still find their own individual mm-hmm. place.
Yeah. And again, if you're not in a position to purchase art from the gallery, it might inspire you to find something in your own house that works. It just sparks the imagination.
Yeah,
to see
it's new.
Artists.
I think it's a new, it's new, it's fresh compared to what I think a lot of people have seen in the community as well, which I love.
Yeah, can inspire and give people new ideas. That is the purpose of art, isn't it?
Yes.
Inspire and make one creative. Well, I'd like to ask about when the public can come on in. You've got some hours.
I've got some hours. So right now I'm doing Tuesday through Saturdays, 11 to 5. Once summer kind of gets rolling, we'll change that a little bit, depending on what kind of the flow is and how summer is reacting. And, of course, if there's different things during the season, we'll open the doors for those.
But. Yeah, yes, of course. Now, I assume that Ross Hall's work will be permanent in this gallery. How about the other artists? Are some others permanent, or is everybody rotating?
Well, of course, Ross Hall is permanent. We'll see about David's.
We'll see how you do, David.
We'll see what yours is doing. And I'll bring on different artists throughout. And if, you know, we'll even just special events for different people if they want to do, you know, even a week show and things like that here and there. And then rotating on certain levels and bringing in new pieces from, say, David and things like that. So we'll always be hosting new events and new shows.
Good.
And new
something
artists.
To see, something new to see.
Yeah.
Now, our artists that are represented at this time, as far as I can tell, they're basically from the region. Is that your intention?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, not to say that someone couldn't pop in from afar that really sparked my interest, but I think being a regional is important as of now.
Yeah, and great for the city to see what's happening in this region.
Yeah.
Who's working on what around here. David, I had been meaning to ask you what you're working on right now.
I'm working on an assemblage sculpture. It has fish going through waves, and it's a lot of individual pieces, and the fish are out of very flashy walnut, and they're large, pretty large fish, and the waves are made out of various materials, so it's kind of a multimedia piece.
When you say an assemblage, explain that a bit further.
Well, sometimes I do sculptures with, let's say fish sculptures, and they're interactive sculptures where you can have movement in there, and depending on your mood, and you walk by that piece of art in your house, oh, I don't like it like that today. You can move it around. So assemblage is adding a lot of different parts. It's not like all carved out of one piece.
Ah.
So it might be like a hinged fish or a fish on a dowel that you can change the stream flow.
Oh, so you can literally move the piece of, kind of change up the piece
the
of art a little.
The fish, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
So to date, my son is kind of taken my some of my interactive sculptures for his own house, but this one I'm not sure if the fish will move, but it's a pretty big piece.
Ah,
so it'll be hard to hang, but I think it'll stand on its own on a pedestal or against a wall as well.
Mm-hmm. And how did you come up with the concept for that? Did it just strike you when you came home this spring, or had you been thinking?
About it last fall, and I had the walnut fish, and they were surrounding a window in my studio. And I thought, I've got to put these guys to work. And so it was in the back of my head for the whole winter. So right now, I'm a little bit inhibited with a hand injury. So this I can kind of work on and feel creative.
Yes, that's cool. Would you say you try and work every day?
Every day. It's just part of me. And I try to have several pieces going at once because sometimes I get stalled out, and I have to keep moving. I'm that kind of a personality. So if I'm stalled out on one piece, I can walk by that and eventually within a week or so, I'll realize what that was missing or what I need to do to make it right. So I feel very lucky. I'm never bored. Plus the mountain biking, the pickleball, all the kayaking, all the things this area offers. But always at least a couple hours a day doing art.
And they inspire you. But I want to ask you this very important question. Has pickleball ever inspired art for you?
No.
I didn't think so.
Some of the personalities in pickleball inspire some of the faces I do in stone or wood.
That's great.
So the community of pickleball is very vibrant, and it's a tribe-like thing.
What about the golfers?
Yes, what about the golfers?
Well, can't swear in this program, can we?
No. Please, no.
No, the golfers, a friend of mine has done golf art, Austin Casson, but I've never gone in that direction.
No, what about the faces of golfers?
With the, that'd be pretty tragic at times.
Tragic. That's funny. All right, you know who you are out there, and I imagine you are not pleased. But anyway, so we have to find out beyond just the hours that you'll have open to the public, other events. I think there's a pretty important one coming up in a couple of days.
Yes, we're going to do Art Walk, and David is going to be there. So all of you come in, meet David, look at his work. He's going to be on site for autographs.
And the date, autographs, great. And it's on a memorable, it's a date you'll remember, right? It's starting on the 13th, isn't it?
Friday the 13th.
Wow. So easy to remember. Will your gallery have the same hours as everyone else? Are they set?
I think Art Walk is a certain time of the evening. And
I did it last year. It was like 2 or 3 hours, but I don't have it right in front of me. But I can't remember if it's like 5 to 8 or 6 to 9, something like that.
I feel like it's
that.
5 to 8, and I should know better, but I unfortunately
don't. It's all right, because on Thursday, the day before the artwork begins, we're going to have an entire hour on it. So stay tuned if you want to hear every detail about upcoming Art Walk. That's soon to come.
Great. Yes. And so we're going to be there, and we have Cabin View Wine is coming in. They're going to do a tasting for everyone. So swing by, try their wine, and it's TBD still, but we might have some live music in-house. And
neat.
Yeah.
And one artist in residence, and will David be your only artist for this event?
Yeah, unfortunately, he's our only on-site.
Okay, well.
But hey, I mean, he's the best, so.
Yeah, he's the most local and the most experienced, so I think folks will be lucky to have a chance to meet him. Here, we're talking about him in the third person. He's right here. You. Anyway, well, okay, this has been a great time to talk and hear about the upcoming opening. Well, the gallery is open, but sort of a exciting beginning for y'all.
Well, thank you for having me, and thanks for bringing us in and letting us stumble through this interview.
Oh, I think I'm the stumbler. You guys were great. You guys did great. But, you know, if you haven't, I'll just put a shout out for how iconic is Ross Hall. If you're a new resident to Sandpoint and you haven't seen those works, a run through to see some of his wonderful black and white photography that represents the history of Sandpoint so beautifully and the environment that it was at that time, and just even kind of cultural lifestyles are reflected. It's really worth a visit.
Yeah, it's some of the works are timeless. I mean, people can't even tell the difference between the fact that they are taken in 1934 or today. I mean, that's what a visionary he was. He, you know, the lengths that he went to get these images were incredible for the time, and they still hold up to today, and which is so incredible.
Yes, really kind of cool. Yeah. And historical, you know, really, he could be in the museum. It could be a museum or it could be an art gallery.
Right.
He's so important.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you both for joining us.
Thank you
guys from AM Gallery in Sandpoint near the winery, wrapping around the winery. If you get a chance and can make it to Art Walk, that seems like a great way to get to know the art in town and you guys in particular. And I just want to thank you, Alicia, and thank you, David. And I wish you the best on your new venture.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right.